I got up early, I've done my due diligence, I spent my time in prayer, listening, worship, everything that I know to do, and the silence this morning was deafening, which means another one of those services where I'm going to follow him through it. The only thing that I did hear is, when you have done all to stand, stand. When you've done all to stand, stand, therefore. I think it would be good, since that's the only thing that he's really given me. Let's look at that in Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. See, that's the real secret. That's the mystery that's been hid from ages. Christ in you. See, that's the difference between our covenant and the old covenant. God gave man the law, said keep it. Man found out he had a fatal flaw. The guy in Romans 7, "Lord, I love you. I love your law. I've set my mind. I agree with your law. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to do that evil stuff no more. And the good things I should have been doing, I'm going to start doing now." How many? See, we're coming up to New Year's, right? New Year, how many made good New Year's resolutions? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the guy in Romans 7 found out, no matter how much he loved God, really, and no matter how much he tried, no matter how much he set his willpower, he said, that evil thing that I wasn't going to do anymore. You could almost, he was like shocked. You can tell. He's like, I did it again. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I already know you can all relate. That good habit I was going to develop, that good thing I was going to start doing, lasted 3 weeks. The gyms love New Year's because everybody makes New Year's, you know, where you go work out at these gyms, you know, make New Year's resolutions. And boy, they get a lot of new business coming in. And of course, nowadays it's not quite the same, but used to you had to sign a contract and they're counting on the fact that you're probably only going to last a few weeks and then, but they're going to keep getting your money anyway. Well, what is the secret? What is the answer to the man in Romans 7? He says, I found there's something deeper than my willpower. There's something deeper than my love for you, God. There's something deep, deep within me that I can't seem to get past. And of course, in that same chapter, he said, it's the law of sin and death. I found another law working in my members. And it's that law of sin and death. And how many are glad for chapter 8? There is the transition from you trying to live in your strength and learning how to live in His strength. Because God in the Old Testament gave man the law, and man in his own strength tried to keep it for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Bible's real clear, not one of them kept it. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. That's talking about everybody in the Old Testament, even those that love God, tried to please God, tried to keep the law. There is none righteous. No, not one. Nobody could do it. So the new covenant, I'm going to paraphrase Gary's version right now. God says, all right, you're not able to keep my law in your strength. What if I come on the inside of you so that you can keep the law in my strength? That's the new covenant. And Paul is summing up this wonderful, we spent almost a year or 1 year going through the book of Ephesians. It's so full, so rich. We could do it again now and there would be more come out. I'm more mature now, understand more now. And I'm telling you right now, a billion years from now, it's going to be the same because God's word is eternal. But in summing up this, all of the revelation that Paul gives, verse 10, Ephesians 6:10, finally. Here's the conclusion. Based on all the truth that I gave you, leading up to this point in this book, finally, here's your answer. Romans 7 guy, here's your answer. Struggling with sin, person, here's your answer. Struggling with endurance, here's your answer. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Dave was very diligent to teach us that word wiles is a military term. And it means the strategies, the plans, the articles of war, if you'll allow me, from the enemy's camp. You'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Of course, okay. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In the Old Testament, they did. They wrestled against flesh and blood. But the struggle that we're going on in it with our nation, and it's bigger than that, the struggle for revival worldwide. Because if he's calling for a minimum of 1 billion souls, well, that's a whole lot bigger than the United States. What are we struggling against? Well, it seems to come through people, and it does come through people. But people are not really the enemy. It's the spirit behind the people. The spirit working through the people. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto... Yes, cut hand out there. Okay. I just saw New Zealand, and the reason I saw New Zealand is I have a friend who's from there that sends me updates on their elections. It's amazing. See, they don't have Donald Trump in their country. And I'm just mentioning that because many people have an issue with Donald Trump. There's things about his personality that grate me, myself, you know. I don't know that we would be buddy buddies if... but still yet... Okay, now I want to stay with this. New Zealand. Without having a Donald Trump in New Zealand, do you know they've been going through almost exactly the same war in their nation that we're going through in this nation? There's a spiritual warfare trying to take over the world. It's already taken over a big part of it. But the same kind of things. Immorality. I'm just going to use the word liberal, progressive, all of those things that you're familiar with, which I'm not going to go through, transgenderism, LGBT, on and on. In California, this year in California, they passed a law where now it's legal, if with consent, to have relations with a 14-year-old. How perverted can you get? Professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. So the same warfare, the same thing is going on in New Zealand through their elections as what's going on here through our elections, which lets me know it's not a Donald Trump issue. It's a spiritual wickedness issue. It's Psalms chapter 2. Let us cast the bands of God off of us. And now they're doing it and celebrate doing it. And if you stand up against it, you better be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You better have on the armor of God. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, because it is a spiritual war, verse 13, because it is, then take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And that's the only part I heard, having done all. When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Okay? Now, if words mean anything, how many think that words mean something? He says, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Couldn't you just as well say, if you don't put on the armor of God, you're not going to be able to stand? Did you know that the blueprint for 2020, everything he's had us doing this whole year, is enabling us to put on the armor of God better than we ever had before? Because, let's go through them one by one quickly, but stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I'm just going to take one issue, abortion. Just one. You better know the truth, what God says about abortion. God calls it murder. The type and shadow from the Old Testament is Molech is one of the gods that they would offer their children as sacrifice. Why? They wanted rain. They wanted good crops. Well, that false god Molech required the shedding of innocent blood, the children. And again, it was a statue made out of an idol made out of metal that was hollow in the inside, where they could build a big fire and get that thing just glowing hot, glowing red. And you'd take your baby. The thing was made where its arms are outstretched in front of it, where you could lay a baby in its arms or a young child. Can you imagine the screams? And I read a historical account that says they had a whole bunch of drummers that were pounding, boom, 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 boom. And it, why? To drown out the screams of the babies. Did you know Solomon apostatized so far through all of those wives that he took from other nations? Did you know Solomon himself built an altar to Molech? You better know the truth. You better know the truth. You better know what the truth is. Because this spirit that's trying to take over this nation is no less the god of Molech than it was then. It's a spiritual war. And you better know the truth, or you're not going to be able to stand up against it. You'll start... I tried not to drink gunpowder or eat gunpowder. Calm down, Gary. Now that's just one. That's just one. Okay. But it is, because it is a spiritual warfare, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thank God for the word of God. Father, thy word is truth. Thank God we can know the truth. All right. Having your loins girt about with truth. Boy, the very next one. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that's got everything to do with the purging that's been going on during this blueprint for 2020. So many things that I wouldn't have thought were idols, really. I thought I was okay until I started, until I've been doing the blueprint for nearly a year. And things, and they're not really sin exactly. Okay, watching football is not a sin. Unless you're a preacher and you do it for 8 or 9 hours on every Saturday. I think that's over the top. Well, that's gone for me. I can hardly make it through a game anymore. They're just boring. Who said that? Hallelujah. They're just boring to me now. They're just, it's gone. TV program, a friend of mine texted me. I'll go ahead and mention the program because it used to be one of our favorites too. NCIS, fairly clean show. There's not normally much going on, no skin or anything. No F words, okay, But he texted me and he says, you know, that show's been on for like 17 years. He says, I want all those hours back. Same here. Boring to me now. I can't hardly make it through this. It's just made up stuff. Now with some, it could be other things. Really sinful things. And it doesn't matter what it is. To put on the breastplate of righteousness means you live a holy life. It does not mean I'm really sorry about the sins I'm continuing to commit. You continue to commit them, you're going to hell. Because this false gospel that's going on that says grace covers you while you continue in sin. Now don't get me wrong. He'll give you long space to repent. And I mean long space to repent. He even gave Jezebel in the book of Revelation and her followers space to repent. But if they don't repent, eventually cast into the fire. If you have not repented of your sins, that means stop it. And you see, well, I can't. Yes, you can. That's Christ in you has empowered. That's what grace. Yes, sir. Titus. Titus chapter 2. I don't want to misquote anything, so I'm going to turn to it myself. Verses 11 and 12. This is the definition of grace in the Bible. For the grace of Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation. Stop. Who wants any other kind? Does anybody want a grace that doesn't bring salvation? A lot of it's being preached on the TV today. A grace that does not bring salvation. Grace that brings salvation is this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's the grace of God sets you free from sin. And how it does it is Christ in you. You get a new nature that's stronger than your flesh. And you and your soul rise up in combatness together in unity. You and your soul has to be renewed, your mind. You and your spirit, you put that flesh on the cross every day. What do you think Jesus meant by take up your cross daily? Daily, daily. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay, it's my job to, you know. I wrote a response, a letter to some person. I think it's a fairly young person. I don't know for sure. I'm thinking about 30 maybe. I don't know. Might be younger than that. Writing me and he said, I'm very confused. I'm gay, but I'm a Christian, he says. I'm gay, but I'm a Christian. He says, I've heard what you teach. I've heard what Pastor Dave teaches, and I don't know what to think because the Holy Spirit talks with me. Well, I wrote quite a long response because I God loves this person. God wants to rescue this person. So my train of thought went like this, starting off going, because he said, God made me this way, I was born this way. I said, well, I can agree with you to this extent. We were all born sinners. We were all born sinners. From our mother's womb, we were born with a sin nature. Now, the sin nature in me produced sin. Mine was along the lines of living my life serving money, using alcohol as a crutch to get me through some of the things that I did, and the long, long hours, because I was determined. I was workaholic. And so I become dependent on alcohol. Let's say it a different way. I become an alcoholic. Okay. And also to alleviate my emotions, I would watch pornography. Of course, in those days, it was magazines. Not like what they have now. And I said, so the sin nature manifested in me that direction. Some people, it manifests other directions. You know, there's serial killers. There's pedophiles. There's on and on and on. But the sin nature is what produces it all. Now, in you, it's manifested this way. But I just started quoting him. I said, the grace that's being preached that you can continue in that sin and still make heaven is absolutely false. Jesus did not teach that at all. And I quoted to him Matthew 7, right near around verse 23. Where he says, many will come to me and say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name and done many wonderful works? Then I will say to them, these are church people. Sinners don't call him Lord. These are people that are going to church still in their sin. Because he says, when they come to him in that condition, he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. So I told them, in the letter, I said, well, now listen. So I went through the whole born again process. It's quite a long response. And I said, you know, when I got born again, things changed. There's like a new sheriff in town. Pornography had to go. Alcohol had to go. Serving money, you know, bowing down to money all the time. That had to go. And I said, other things, cussing, dirty jokes, on and on and on, you could go. I said, now, it wasn't all instantaneous. It took some time. Some of it took longer than others. But I said, let me just ask you a question. And, I quoted that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is. And in the New King James Version, does better on that verse. I always look at Alan. Kudos. Okay. Because that's where it says, know ye not that your body is a temple of God? And then it starts going into the list. Know ye not that, and I won't get it exactly right, and I'm not going to turn to it, but adulterers, fornicators, but in the New King James, it actually says homosexuals. Okay? So I just quoted in that verse. And one of them is drunkards. I said, what if I'd have remained a drunkard? What if I had not repented? When Christ in me is saying, stop it, and he empowers me to stop it, I have no excuse. I have Christ in me. I have his strength to do it now. I'm not a slave anymore, but I'm just choosing. What if I'd have stayed a drunkard? Look at that verse, because it says, I have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. That means I don't get to live there. That means I don't go to heaven when I die. No, you got to repent and believe the gospel. So I just shared with him. I said, listen, my body didn't like it. When I gave up pornography, it didn't like it. When alcohol left, it didn't like it. When nicotine left, it didn't like it. When anything left. So I told him, your body is not saved. Now, your spirit is. It's born again. It's righteous and holy. Your mind can be progressively renewed. But the body, there's nothing you can do with it except stop it. We'll get a new one someday. When I say stop it, I mean mortify it. Well, let's read Titus 2, 11 and 12 again. Yes, sir. Got to end on that. See, really, this is the breastplate of righteousness. Connect this up with where we were in Ephesians 6. That you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Grace is how you do it. And grace says, you have the power now, if you're born again, to deny ungodliness. What does that mean? Say no. No to ungodliness and worldly lusts. Say no. Put your flesh on the cross. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So I told him, you're going to have to repent of homosexuality. You're going to have to know the truth. You're believing that you don't have any choice, but yet at the same time you're believing you're a Christian. And those two things are not true. Both can't be true at the same time. Christ in you has empowered you and enabled you to live above homosexuality. Now your body may not like it at all, but it's heaven or hell. This is not just how you live. It's heaven or hell. Do you understand me? I said, as a servant of the Most High God, I am obligated to tell you the truth in love. You repent, and repent today. You are not a homosexual if you're a Christian. Okay. See, right now, that would be Hebrews 10. Go over to Hebrews 10 for a minute. Because I'm here laughing stock. Hebrews 10. Yes, there it is. Verse 32. Now, again, writing to the Hebrew Jewish Christians. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, now that means after they knew the truth about Christ and him crucified, they got saved, okay? You endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions. Let's stop for a moment. They're making fun of you. See, right now, if you stand up, of course, I don't get on social media, but if you do, a lot of people do, if you get on there and you say homosexuality is sin, you're going to be mocked, made fun of, you old-fashioned fuddy-duddy. And it's worse than that, you start getting death threats if you persist. They find out where you are, somebody, what do they call that, doxes you, or whatever that word is where they make known your address. Get your tires slashed. They could egg your house. Have a whole group protesting out front with megaphones. Welcome to 2021. This could get ugly. This could get real ugly. Whether, no matter how the election turns out, if we're going to stand, when we've done all to stand, if they made a gazing stock of them then, and it's already happening now, they think you're crazy. They think you're bigoted. They think you're a racist. Every word they can throw at you. Just tell them, sleeping together before marriage is sin, and you'll go to hell if you do it, if you don't repent. Why, you old fool. You fuddy-duddy. When you've done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Okay? Because we're going into revival, election or not. You understand what I'm saying? God has been saying very clearly to us that we're going into this worldwide revival. Do you think the world is just going to lay down while that happens? These spirits, one of the prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk said, just talking about our nation, said the spirit over our nation, the devil, I don't want to say he's a Jesus, I declare Jesus is Lord over our nation. But how that prophecy went, Satan in this nation has not been said no to in decades. I think 40 years or something is what it said. You know, Roe versus Wade? Sure. Take prayer out of schools? Sure. Legalize same-sex marriage? I mean, on and on and on, he has not been said no to, and there is a generation, an army rising up that's saying no! It's a warfare in the heavenlies. No, you're not going to rule in this land. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And he's calling a group of people to grow up, put on your big boy pants. Get the armor on. Let's go to war. Yes, sir. Now, I'm lingering over the breastplate of righteousness for a reason. Again, through more than one prophet I've heard recently, and this is especially if you're in leadership at all. See, to me, all of you in this room right now at the 8:30 service on a cold morning, the week before Christmas, all of you are leadership to me. And I believe you're leadership to the Lord. But a prophecy also has come forward through more than one. That space to repent, and I'm talking of real sin, things you know are sin. And I'm not talking football. I'm talking things like pornography. Still tipping the bottle. Other things. The prophecy said this. As we enter into revival, remember Ananias and Sapphira. For just as surely as you have had my mercy, as the revival breaks out, just as surely you will have my judgment. And it will be exposed. And he even said some leaders in some big churches, that's going to happen too. And he said, some of them will be lost. Some of them will repent, and I'll restore them. But if that's true for them, it's true for us, is it not? The breastplate of righteousness. They're going to make fun of you. Now notice again, if you're still in Hebrews 10:33, while you were made a gazing stock, and that means made fun of. You know, they were, last message, I think, we talked about Samson and how through habitual sin, Samson lost his anointing. And they gouged out both of his eyes. And they made him work like a donkey or a mule, putting him where there's a grindstone and a pole that comes out horizontal. And Samson's job is to walk in endless circles till he dies, working for the enemy. And they brought him out. They had a big giant celebration going on. And they brought Samson out for the express purpose of making fun. But see, Samson prayed to the Lord. got a hold of those two pillars and brought that whole temple down, killed over 3,000 of them. And it says he destroyed more of the enemy in his death than he did in his lifetime. Yeah. They made fun of him, though. See, the enemy, he loves to make fun. But and afflictions. Yeah, okay, let's keep going a little bit. And partly while you became companions of them that were so used. It's not just you. It's anybody right now that stands up for the truth, stands up for the gospel, that is wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Yes, sir. You're not a blind guide anymore. Can the blind lead the blind? See, they say, don't you judge me. You know, they just lift one verse out of its setting. Judge not that you be not judged. Okay. He says, go there. In Matthew 7, in verse 1, this is what they always say. Judge not that you be not judged. That's the only part of it they know. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. You have no right to judge me. But if you read it all, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite. Now notice, first, cast out the beam out of your own eye. Let me say it another way. Judge yourself. Repent yourself. Repent yourself, see? And then shalt thou see clearly to what? Cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. He's not against helping people, and judgment is a part of that. Just like that young man that I wrote the letter to, my job is to tell him the truth in love. And if he gets mad at me, I can't help that. You know? I can't help that. If he posts letters how terrible I am, I can't help that. But my job is to walk in the light myself so I can see clearly to help other people walk in their light. A big part of the reason for the letter in 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote to the 1 Corinthians is that the church was not doing their job of judging. They had this guy that had his father's wife, hopefully it's his stepmother, he's sleeping with his father's wife. And everybody knows it. And probably sitting on the front row, and you think that's not going to affect the young people there? What's the message? God's grace covers this. I can continue living. I mean, this sin was so bad, Paul said, even the heathen don't allow this. Well, what would that preach? Just their presence. If he didn't say anything, everybody knows what's going on, and it's not being judged. There's going to be a lot of judging in the right way. Paul said, that letter really is a scathing rebuke against the leadership of the First Corinthian church, that they would not exercise judgment. And not only was that man's eternal soul at stake, but all those that are the young ones that would be influenced by his actions. Paul says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you don't deal with this, and there's no way to deal with it without judging. But you better not be living in fornication yourself if you're going to judge him. Better not be involved in pornography yourself if you're going to judge others. Better not be tipping the bottle too much and judging others. That's what putting on the breastplate of righteousness is. It's not anything else. That's what it is. And if you don't, yes, sir. If you yourself are walking in any things like that, boy, if there's ever a time to repent, it's time to repent. All right. Verse 15, Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The way that's worded in the King James is tough. Of course, we are to go and tell everyone that God has made peace with man through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You can interpret it that way. But that's really not, in context, what it's talking about. It's talking about you becoming so secure in God that no matter what's going on around you, you yourself walk in peace. The perfect picture is Jesus asleep on the pillow in the boat while the rest of them were like, don't you care, we're going to die. It had to be bad for them to... These are experienced fishermen that's made their living on the sea their whole life. And even they are saying, this one's bad. Circumstances are bad. We're going to die. Don't you care that we're going to die? See, if I had been them, what I'd want Jesus to do is give me a pat on the back. Well, I appreciate you boys working hard to save this boat. I know you've been working trying to get us to the other side. I appreciate it, and you did good. Is that what he said? How is it that you have no faith? Not little faith. No faith. Jesus tells you to do something. You set out to do it. All hell comes against you. Your circumstances get so bad, don't you care we're going to die? How is it that you have no faith? I'm just preaching the Bible here. I catch myself sometimes. I tell you, if there is ever a time to not listen to the secular news, it is now. Even reading the paper, I just want to burn it. You know, journalism in America is dead. Journalism is supposed to just state the facts. But they can't do that anymore. Every article has an agenda. Every article is written in such a way to persuade you. Right now, you better get your news from God's Word and from praying in other tongues. Because if there was ever a time to stand, yes, sir. See, when it says stand therefore, now I think, see, what I would like is every time I pray, I get an instant answer right then, thank you very much. That's what I'd like. And I've had some of those. I thank God for the ones I've had. You have too. But sometimes you got to stand and you got to stand a while. I remember when we were standing for our three daughters, all three of them in their teens rebelled against us and God. Angie always says she rebelled the least, and I think that's probably so. If you ask Aaron what she majored in college, she'll tell you beer. She'll tell you. I mean, that's the way it was. And Amanda, she was probably the most rebellious. Like, you know the story about her. Before she saw the light, she was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. Now, that's a little more than sipping beer out behind a barn. Amen? Sneaking a cigarette or something. Well, that stand for our daughters, and God used other people. He used ministers. He used all kinds of things. But we had to stand for years on that one. Boy, I tell you, we had to watch the words of our mouth. You talk about peace. It was hard to stay peaceful when you see your youngest daughter in a jail cell. And she's asking you to get her out of there, which we could have. We could have paid the bail. But the Lord said, look in her eyes. And she was saying the right words, but her heart had not changed yet. She wasn't ready to repent. I don't think I've ever done anything harder in my life than leave her there. I thank God that I did. But sometimes to stand is really hard on your emotions. It's hard on what you love. It's hard on everything. And sometimes it doesn't even make much sense to you because you're not, you know, I can look back now with perfect hindsight, but at the time we didn't know where it was going. But boy, Sue and I, we trained ourselves. We quoted the scripture over those three girls to where it was in our heart in abundance. And we didn't have to work at it after a while. You know, we knew what they were doing. We knew what they were involved with. We could have joined right in with, how's your daughters doing? You know, we could have joined in like most Christians or, you know, the world. You know, oh, we're so worried. We didn't raise them like this. We know they're out there drinking and in the bars and carousing around and probably sleeping around. And God knows, you know, we could have joined right in with all of that. And we're going to get to it in a minute, what the offensive weapons are. We trained ourselves. How's your daughters doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. Our daughters prophesy and cast out devils. Our daughters hate sin and they love righteousness. Our daughters serve the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Their ways are directed by the Lord because they've cast the whole of their care upon Him. On and how long do you want to stand there? We keep talking. No, I want to know how they're really doing. That's how they're really doing. Then you shut up. It's really important that you shut up and only say what God said. All three of them today, thank God He delivered them all. All three of them just serving the Lord best they know how, living righteous lives. None of them involved in sin that I know of at all. Thank God. But the point is, sometimes you got to stand and stand there for a while. With Amanda, that was over 2 years before that was really over. More than 2 years. And had to get lawyers involved and courts involved. And I wanted John Wayne for a lawyer, and God sent me Wally Cox. What if 99-pound weakling? I'm going, you got to be kidding. But he was the one. He was really the one. He accomplished something in that county that had never been accomplished before. Been tried many times. Amanda's case was the first time that it ever worked. Okay, enough about that. I'm just trying to say, when you've done all to stand. Well, we're in verse 15. You better learn to have peace. Now, I'll tell you right now, my soul, the emotional part of me, would just want to cry and talk to people and tell them, want a little sympathy, you know. No, can't do that. There was a peace in, see, be strong in the Lord and in the power. The same Jesus that was asleep on the pillow in the midst of the storm is the same Jesus that is not worried about your problem now. So you, that's walking in peace. Your soul, you may have to bring it back 10 times an hour, but you learned where you walk in peace. You walk in peace. Now, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. And I kind of combined that there with in our testimony about our daughters. The shield of faith is where you say scripture. That's how Jesus, He used the shield of faith when He was attacked by the devil in the wilderness. It is written, it is written, it is written. He wouldn't say anything except scripture. Well, that's the shield. And when you're attacked on all sides, don't say anything but scripture. Okay? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Yes, sir. Okay. See, this was in that letter too. Now I'm seeing it again. He said, you say the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And I went, well, of course He does. He's always trying to convict sinners and bring them to Jesus. But if what you're saying is the Holy Spirit is telling you it's okay to remain in homosexuality, and you'll still make heaven? It's my duty to inform you that is not the Holy Spirit. That is a demon. That is some kind of spiritual wickedness impersonating the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, I gave him the scriptures out of Romans 8, always bears witness that you are a son of God. Now that means you don't sin. You live above sin. The Holy Spirit will tell you you are not a homosexual. The Holy Spirit will always tell you about your freedom. Now, so if you're telling me the Holy Ghost is talking to you, but He's not convicting you of that sin, that's not the Holy Ghost. Because He does not want you to wind up in hell, and you will if you don't repent. Now, yes, sir. He could take my letter and post it on social media, put out my physical address, put out my phone number, and it could get really ugly for us. I don't know how much of that is coming in 2021. I really don't know. You do it anyway. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You do it anyway. You speak the truth in love. You got to tell them the truth. Jesus, if you ever want to see that in action, is Jesus love? Jesus is the expressed image of God. God is love. You want to see love? Read Matthew 23. Let's just look at a little bit of it. You want to see love talking? And he's talking to the religious Pharisees, and John, he tells them, you're of your father the devil. Makes no bones about it. Even though you are the religious leaders of the day, they're the very ones that would be saying, Lord, Lord, to him on that day. He says, we'll pick it up with the woes. How about verse 13? Woe unto you. This is love talking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you devour widows' houses. And I'm telling you, if you haven't heard my message on the widow's mite, how they did it was through false doctrine about giving. That's how they did it. They'd wind up eventually with the deed of the house from a widow. Okay. And for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Look up that word damnation. It means exactly what you think it means. You're going to wind up in hell. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, that's a convert. And when he's made, get this, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now that is love talking. He is doing what he can to rescue those guys. You talk about speaking the truth in love. This is the one that we're near the end of Matthew. This is, look how it goes on. I mean, he's scathing against them. Red letters, red letters, red letters. This is the one that got him killed, if you'll allow me. It was after this when they plotted to try and kill him before, but after he exposed them like this publicly in the temple in front of the people, that's it. And they decided to kill him. And I mean, they're going to follow through this time. And they did follow through. And yes, sir. See, I've just fought the pictures. Do you remember them mocking Jesus? They put a purple robe on him, if I remember right, and a crown of thorns on his head, and, oh, hail, King of the Jews. Oh, hail, King of the Jews. And then they'd beat him. I think they covered his head one time where he couldn't see. He'd say, now prophesy. Tell us who hit you. Tell us who beat you. Making sport, gazing stock. Why? Because he spoke the truth in love. Learning to walk in peace. Yes, sir. Got to finish this up. Back to Ephesians 6. Because we have to get to the offensive weapons. Taking the helmet of salvation. Now that means you got to think like a son of God. Helmet of salvation means your mind has been renewed to who you are. I like to say who you are, where you're from, and why you're here. Your mind more and more thinks exactly like Jesus. More and more. Okay? But now, that ends the defensive weaponry. Now, notice this. When we go on the offensive, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Now, on the offense, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Greek word there is rhema, if I remember right. What he's talking about there, see, when Jesus went on the offensive, when he went to set the captives free, he did not go into any of them and quote scripture. That is the shield. He would issue commands. He would speak, literally his lips became the lips of God. When he spoke, it was God speaking. God the Father, I'm talking. I'm talking Jesus of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It's worded that way on purpose so we know he did this in his manhood, not his godhood. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He'd issue commands. stretch forth thine hand. That's impossible. The whole point, the guy had a withered hand. Couldn't stretch it forth. Jesus is always telling you to do the impossible. Stretch forth thine hand. At the Red Sea, he told Moses, tell the children to go forward. Forward is the Red Sea. But just like the Red Sea parted and they went through, the man, as soon as he just tried to obey, stretch forth thy hand, whew, then it was made whole like the other one, see. We're growing up to do that. That's not going to happen unless you've put on the armor of God. But if you have on the whole armor of God, when you speak, it is no less. Yes, sir. Okay, same book, Ephesians, back up to chapter 5. Look at verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. It can't get more real than bones, isn't that right? Well, if your bones are his bones and your flesh are his flesh, your lips are his lips. Notice it comes right after the helmet of salvation. That's when you think like he thinks. That's when you're online. That's where you're connected. That's where you and the Holy Ghost are walking in such fellowship. You have the mind of Christ. And when you speak, it's his lips speaking, even though it's your lips. All right? And supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. All perseverance. When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. But notice both of the offensive weapons we have. The sword of the Spirit. Praying always in the Spirit. Both of those involve words. One of them, it's words that you speak in your known language. You're issuing a command. You're speaking the end result. You're saying the confessions. You're not speaking anything different. Words, it's words. Do you get that? Praying, and the sword of the Spirit. I'm sorry. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, you're speaking there. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's words too. But now, the Holy Spirit, who is God, the mind of Christ is flowing through him, from that language, he's giving the utterance, but it passes to your spirit. You are the one speaking the very mind of Christ in other tongues on this planet. No wonder he told us in the blueprint, pray. Pray. Leave the parking lot praying in tongues. Do your laundry praying in tongues. Every time you're not doing something else, be praying in tongues. Why? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now you've got the words of God coming directly from God the Holy Ghost through your lips. It doesn't get a whole lot more powerful than that. So let's obey God. I'm going to run about 3 minutes into Alan's time. Uh-oh. Like he never runs into mine. We love our Alan. These are the special confessions for the election. It takes about 5 minutes. You ready? Just repeat after me. Father, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of this election. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, spirit of confusion. I command that you silence your tongue and cease your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against the man. The man God knows should be elected. I speak to you and command you, you spirit of confusion, be cast out now in Jesus' name. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all of your devils are bound concerning this nation and this election. None of your plans for interfering with this election will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you. And all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you. And triumphed over you. For all eternity. He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you. And your devils. Completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated. In this election. Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils. Your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouth fire. And may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those who are trying to interfere with and alter the outcome of this election. May confusion fill their camps, as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elijah the plans of the Syrian army, expose the plans of the ungodly who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day. Drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up prayer in the Spirit. And ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us. Your perfect will concerning the outcome. The outcome you desire for this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests on you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. Father, this battle is not ours, it is yours. You are with us. Oh God, we praise you and we worship you. For your mercy endures forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. When you've done all to stand. Stand therefore. Amen. Amen.